Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Dylan Talks Tone, and welcome to our Just Gonna Say It podcast. We do this every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, unless I'm traveling, and then we switch it up like we did last week. And then shortly following this, we will upload it to the rest of our podcast platforms, Spotify, Google, iTunes, all that stuff. We're a little late doing that this week because of the aforementioned trip, but we did get it up there. So for those of you that want to listen to this stuff on the in the car or whatever while you're driving, you are welcome to do that. Want to get a couple things out of the way. We actually do have a show sponsor this week. We'll talk about the two obvious ones. Dylan Talks Tone. Go to DylanTalksTone.com and pick up some pickups. That's what we really do while we're not making videos and podcasts and such. What is going on my phone? And then the other one would be, because we're probably going to end up talking about them a little bit today, Texas Toast Guitars, TexasToastGuitars.com. You can go there to learn how to make pickups and stuff. That's pretty cool, as well as custom builds. And then the other one is, this is a new one for us. We are, around here, we're really, really concerned with taking care of our mental health. That's like really important to us as a family. It's one of the ways we can maintain every day working together in the same house. We are all, you know, my daughter's here all day. Leslie's here all day. We're always together, but we don't hate each other. And it's because we spend time worrying about our mental health, taking care of it, and working those things in. BetterHelp is sponsoring this video, one of the sponsors of this video. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who is trained to listen and give you helpful, unbiased advice. You go to their website, and you can use my link, betterhelp.com/DylanTalksTone. You answer a few questions, and BetterHelp will match you with a professional who has years of experience helping people with struggles just like yours. This has been a huge help for us as a family. We have actually used this. You can do it all from your phone or computer via phone call, video chat, or messaging, however you feel most comfortable. It is the easiest possible way to start talking to a therapist. You will be matched to a therapist usually within 48 hours so that you can get started fast. Let BetterHelp connect you to a therapist who can support you all from the comfort of your own home. Visit betterhelp.com/DylanTalksTone or choose Dylan Talks Tone, all one word, during sign up and enjoy a special discount on your first month. So, we feel that stuff is very, very important. So, we're going to get into some interesting stuff today. I want to talk about this. So, I was looking on the internets earlier today. Well, there's a couple things that brought this up for me. Guitar World had an article about resale value. Let me see if I had it saved here, and then I clicked away doing stuff and got completely sidetracked. So they had an article talking about resale value, and they were talking about how Gibson has a higher resale value than Fender. And that's interesting. Yeah, here it is. So resale value is higher on Gibson than it is on Fender by not a lot, by about 5% or so. One of the reasons they talk about is because Gibson nurtures its reputation. Gibson has long nurtured its reputation as a premium brand, and it seems the perception is holding in the used market to some extent too. It makes a lot of sense. But what's really interesting here is Fender has a larger market share. Okay. So when we look at the top 40 models of guitars that are in the market today, Gibson has 6 in the top 40. Fender has 9. And they have roughly the twice amount of used models on Reverb. So there's a much greater supply of used Fender instruments. This is interesting because it makes me wonder, are people less happy with their Fender instruments, or are they just trying stuff? I don't know. This is an interesting thing. Wondering what's causing this. Let's see. And the Fender Player Series and Player Tele hold their value the best, which is interesting because I would think that that would be a super market saturation of those for sale. Those are very interesting concepts to think about. And I want to know what you think about resale value, how important it is to you as a consumer. Chris Hendricks says, I think Fenders have always been more plentiful in the market. Well, that kind of comes automatically because there's more of them. You know, Fender's making way, 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 way more guitars than Gibson is. Gibson's only making, you know, 500 a day or whatever. Fender's making four times that, five times that. So, yeah, they're making a lot more. So let's see. What do you think? How do you care? How do you care? Do you care about resale value? Personally, I do not. I do not care about resale value whatsoever. Because I don't care about selling it. I am of the opinion that if you don't buy something that you don't like, then you won't sell it. I'm not a flipper. I'm a collector, obviously, because I collect everything. And I really enjoy the stuff I have. And I don't buy stuff if I don't want it. And I'm very intentional about my purchases. It doesn't seem like it because you see me buy a new pocket knife every 2 weeks or a new guitar or whatever, but I'm actually very intentional about it. Of course, I'm in a little different situation because I've got stuff for the channel and stuff for me, but the stuff that I buy for me, if you'll notice, it does not leave. It stays around. So this is just not a thing for me. So I'm interested to find out, you know. Plus you can buy an import Fender, no import Gibsons. Well, you just buy an Epiphone. You know, that's the thing. I just want to buy stuff that I like, you know. There's also the fact that the Gibson name is only for Gibson, but Fender includes MIM. Well, sort of. Yeah. I think that that is something that players have, you know, guitar players have imposed this, where is it made? It matters to me thing on guitars, on Guitar World. A guitar is a guitar is a guitar, and a good guitar is a good guitar. So it shouldn't matter where it's made. If it's good, it's good. Doesn't matter. So that shouldn't really be a thing. Now, availability is a thing, though. There are not that many used Gibsons out there versus used player Strats and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's just an interesting concept. I don't care. I don't buy to flip or resale. I see, that's me too. I see the guys on Reverb flipping pedals and flipping guitars and always on a flip. You know, and I get that. But that's typically not, especially with new guitars. Now, we should make a little caveat here for my personal feelings on it. I only buy brand new guitars because a lot of times if I don't keep them, one of you ends up with it. And so I don't want to have a used guitar because I don't know where it came from. I want you to be confident in what you get from me. And I'm also the kind of person that you can buy anything from me and you'll know it's perfect. I've always been like that. If you buy something from me, you know it's perfect. That's just how I am. That's how I take care of my stuff. So I buy new stuff for that reason. Because like we were talking about, if you're new to the channel, you may not know this, but I kind of have two stacks of guitars, right? I have the ones that I buy for projects and for, you know, guitar-based videos and that kind of stuff. And we'll buy a lot of import guitars and we'll buy a lot of stuff like that for that. And then I have another kind of pile of guitars, literal pile of guitars, that is stuff that I've bought for me personally, that I'm going to keep, that in my personal collection that I enjoy for that. And so they're kind of in two different camps there. And typically, now I've sold a couple and then regretted it and bought them again, but I tip. Resale value is important, as falling out of love with a guitar can occur, but if I want to buy up, using guitars that I stopped playing often needs to be sold. So here's the problem with that, though. I get what you're saying. I 100% get what you're saying. But what is resale value? So is resale value buying a guitar, selling it, and not losing any money on it? Or is buying is good resale value, which is more, the following is more realistic: enjoying the guitar for a couple of years and realizing that the cost of ownership of that guitar is part of the value of that guitar. You don't get to, nothing's for free. So if you get to play the guitar for 2 years and you sort of get tired of it and you sell it for, you know, 40% of, you know, less than what you paid for it, you didn't lose your ass on that guitar because you enjoyed it for that many years. Now, if you made an improper choice and didn't enjoy it from the beginning, that's on you. That's why you have to watch videos and understand and learn and all this stuff. That's why we do what we do, right? But to depend on resale value for buying up is probably not a great business plan, unless you are the kind of person who is extremely resourceful with reverb and you know, Craigslist and all those sorts of things. You know, I mean, that sort of thing, that's the kind of deal where, you know, if you factor Epiphone, I don't think resale value is as different. I disagree. Well, you can't factor Epiphone because they're not the same guitar. It's a different brand. And I know that guitar players have a hard time dealing with this, but a Gibson is not an Epiphone and an Epiphone is not a Gibson. And a Squire is not a Fender, and a Fender is not a Squire. They're not the same. They're in the same family. They're in the same brand structure, but they're not the same brand. You know, they look the same, but they're not the same brand. And so when it comes to volume of instruments, when it comes to construction of instruments, and of course, country of origin and all that kind of stuff, they're completely different departments. So you can't put them together. It's not fair. It would be like putting Toyota and Lexus together, or putting Infiniti and Nissan together, or putting, you know, anything like that together. It doesn't work. It doesn't make sense because the volume's different. The quality of the instrument is different. Everything is different. The build philosophy, the sales philosophy, because Epiphone is not a luxury brand. It is a commodity brand. It's what everybody should be able to afford. This is something that people, again, guitar players have a hard time trying to figure this out, but an Epiphone is not a cheap Gibson. It is a different brand that is to put you in the same mind so that you will be a Gibson loyalist in the future. But it is not the same brand. And so it just doesn't work the same way. So you can't really conflate the two when it comes to those numbers. You know, so that's kind of one of the things. Because one of the things is really important about this is it really comes down to the goal of the company. So you mentioned it, the goal of the company. So we have a luxury brand versus this commodity brand where everybody owns one, right? So Fender Custom Shop, American-made Fender, and then we have all the cheaper stuff, right? And all the foreign stuff. And then we have Gibson and we have Epiphone. And the goals of those branches of those companies and the difference between them and the fact that like Squire and Fender are kind of independent of each other, which a lot of people don't realize, but they are. Same thing with Epiphone. Now, Epiphone is less independent than Squire and Fender, but they're different. And so you can't put them in the same family because the goal of each of those brands is different. When you have a brand like Gibson, who is a luxury brand, okay, they intentionally keep their numbers, they keep their releases, and they keep everything the way they want it. And they don't change that. That's why they've stayed the same for so long. Same thing with American Fender. Although I would argue that Fender is less so trying to maintain, because they've never had that business philosophy of being a luxury brand. They've always been kind of a, people talk about working man's guitar, although I don't really believe that. I don't like that phrase, but the idea of Leo Fender was to make it a mass produced instrument, where Gibson was always a luxury brand. Two different things. People think that just because Fender's cost is this much or they are more accessible, that Gibson's should be. But if the goal of the company is different, it doesn't matter. It happens with all kinds of things. A couple of the hobbies that I'm super into, Montblanc fountain pens, they are a luxury brand. So a Montblanc 149 is $1,000 pen. It will never be cheaper than that. Used ones are $600. Okay. They're not trying to be a, what do I got over here? A Twisby Eco. This thing is $36 brand new. So you'll never sell this pen for used. You just won't sell it used. But this is not a luxury brand. The goal of this company versus Montblanc is different. Same thing in the pocket knife world. There's no point in trying to sell a Kershaw Leek or a Gerber whatever used, because it is not a luxury brand. It's not made to be. It's not made for that. The goal of the company is not made that way. Chris Reeve, it's a $600 pocket knife. That is a luxury brand. It is a premium product, and the goal of the company is to be a premium product. That puts it in a completely different league, and the way they sell used and the secondary market and all that kind of stuff. There's a used pen market. Oh, absolutely. I just bought a couple of pens. There's a huge vintage pen market too. I just bought a really cool vintage pen yesterday. This is literally a Ford versus Ferrari situation. Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. It's philosophy of use and philosophy of company is completely different, thus affecting the resale market. And the interesting thing about it is that a lot of guitar players do not take the time or want to believe or allow themselves to understand or whatever, that this is the truth. That there is nuance to these conversations, right? That these are not, you don't just take one and automatically assume that it's the other. You just don't do that. I really enjoyed Philip McKnight's video snippet that he took out of his podcast where somebody challenged him about the fact that Texas Toast guitars are just expensive Gibsons. First of all, they're not. They start at $1,400. And that the philosophy of the company has a lot to do with how much the guitar is worth. Not only that, what the personal worth that you get out of an instrument. That's something that's I think is really, when people assign their self-worth to an object, that screws everything up. And that's what people do. People will assign their personal self-worth, not to get back to betterhelp.com/DylanTalksTone, but and I am not your therapist and I'm not a professional, but I'm just going to say it. When people assign their self-worth to a physical possession, which is what guitar players do with guitars, it screws everything up because it's just an object and you have to zoom out and objectively look at an object and say, what is this? What is the goal of this company? What are they trying to do? So you take somebody like, I really like what Phil brought out about Texas Toast, about how they don't have a variance in quality. There isn't a cheap guitar and an expensive guitar. In fact, Matt likes to talk about this is not an entry-level guitar. This is an entry point to the brand. And so their least expensive guitar, being $1,400 or whatever, is the same quality control as their $5,000 guitar. The only difference is the addition of various features and various, you know, accoutrements that go on top of that guitar. But the quality of it and the build philosophy is the same from the least expensive entry point, not entry level, up to their most expensive, which I think is a really interesting way to explain that. And I really liked how Phil talked about that and the fact that that assigns value to an instrument in a different way. And what that does, though, is it requires the buyer of a product to not assign assumptions to that and actually do some thinking and some research. Like, for example, so I guess this is the way I'm thinking about this. A Texas Toast customer is going to be a thoughtful consumer. He's going to look at it and he's going to understand what he's getting. And he's going to know the value of how that guitar became a block of wood, from a block of wood into a guitar. And he's going to get that. Same thing with a Gibson customer. He's going to understand the legacy of the brand. He's going to understand what everything means that goes into that guitar. And he's going to appreciate that. And he's going to then enjoy that guitar. And he's probably not going to sell it. That's also going to keep the numbers down, which is going to keep the resale value up. And then at that point, resale value is literally an academic number because you're not going to sell it anyway. I, in the back of my mind, know that I could get whatever I want for my Les Paul. But it's just a thought because I don't care because I don't want to sell it. But that's because I was thoughtful when I bought it and I got what I needed and wanted when I bought it. As opposed to the folks who just think that all guitars are the same and they should all cost $1,000 or less. That's a different customer. And so it's not, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just there's a different customer for those different brands. And honestly, I don't know that it necessarily has anything to do with the quality of the instrument or the cost of the instrument. It more has to do with the philosophy of how you get to purchasing decisions. I think that is something that we don't think about when we're thinking about other guitar players and our friends and stuff. And I think the other thing too is that people buy what other people want. When we talk about attaching our self-worth to possessions, you have seen in Facebook groups and pages and all kinds of stuff, I just ordered this guitar. What mods should I do to it? You don't even know, dude. You haven't even played it yet. What guitar should I buy? What color pick guard should I get? All these things are all driven by the community, not by you as a person. Like, I don't do that. I play pink guitars because I like them. I play the guitars that I have because I like them. I play carbon fiber because I like it. If I went by what everybody else wanted, we'd all have sunburst strats. I hate sunburst strats. So that's the thing. These are all just like community driven, like hive mind driven decisions. And then all of a sudden you're buying a guitar that you don't actually like. Somebody told you on the internet that you should like it. And then all of a sudden you get it and you're less happy with it because you didn't be your own person. Isn't that what this is about? Like being an individual. If you were to be an individual, be your own person and not make decisions based on the hive mind of some friggin' Facebook group somewhere with a bunch of morons that are actually pizza guys. And you actually played guitar for the joy of playing guitar and enjoyed your hobby for the enjoyment of the hobby itself. And you bought what you wanted. You wouldn't have to worry about resale value because you'd like it. And that's the bottom line, you know? Because what a guitar costs doesn't matter. I know that's a hard concept to, get through people's heads, but what a guitar costs doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter. It's our ability to enjoy what we do that matters. And if you're dependent on a thing or what somebody told you or whatever to enjoy this hobby, you're never going to really like it. And you're always going to be chasing it. And then you're going to be worried about the next guitar all the time. You know, I don't know. It's just weird. Let's see. Dylan's Mike McCready strat in the background. Well, aren't that pretty? I don't understand what that means. Yeah, be your own person. Let's see. Now I'm waiting on my challenger. Excellent. It's probably going to have my pickups in it too. That's cool. Let's see. Sorry, I'm trying to go back here and see. People are too hung up on brand names. You know, I don't know. People that say people are too hung up on brand names are just the opposite, hung up on not brand names. Why do we have to be hung up on anything? If you think somebody's hung up on something, you're hung up too. Like, just let people be who they're going to be. You be you, and I'll be me. I'll play my Fenders and Gibsons and my PRSs, and if you want to play something that doesn't have a name on it, that's cool too. I'm totally fine. I'll still meet you at an open mic, and we will still play guitar together, and I won't care. I mean, that's it. You know, I think that's the thing. Like, the people that are hung up, say people are hung up, you're just the opposite hung up. You're just hung up the opposite direction. So just relax, and we'll all just play. It's cool. There's always another guitar that you may bond with better than what you have. That is why having gear with resale value is better. I'm not trying to lose money on every purchase. That's just dumb. Okay. Fair point. I get that. I do get that. But here's the problem I have with this. There's always another guitar that you may bond with better than what you have. That right there means that the piece of equipment is becoming more than the thing that it can create. And that is where you lose me. If you can't, I don't want to sound accusatory with this, so I'm just going to tell you how I view it, okay? And you can disagree if you want. I do understand your point, but I disagree because I think that every guitar can be used for something. You know, I've driven over Glary's with my truck. You know, I would use a Harley Benton for a wheel chock. I mean, everything has, you know, its purpose. That's a joke. But there's no bad gear. It just serves a different purpose. If it doesn't serve a purpose for you, then I get that. But there's a lot of ways to deal with that before you make the purchase. I think in 2024, I think there's very little chance of us making the wrong purchase if we educate ourselves properly. And I'm not saying that that's 100% because we all do. We all screw up. I'm trying to think of a guitar that I bought that I didn't like as much as I thought. I can't really lately because I've really liked everything I've gotten lately. But I mean, I've bought a lot of guitars that I don't like, but I've also bought them because they were project guitars, you know. Or that I've not bonded with, you know, as good as we were talking about this last night on our live Patreon hangout. As good as PRS silver, PRS SE guitars are, you know, like the DGT and stuff. I don't bond with those because to me, they're all the same. You know, they're cool. They're great. I do not ever discourage anyone from buying one because they're amazing guitars. They're very good quality. They're fantastic. They're a great entry point into PRS. However, for me, I don't bond with them because I feel that I can play any PRS SE and it basically has the same pickups and same scale length and just pick a different color. So that doesn't draw me, right? So I can understand your point there. But I think as you learn things, you'll do that less and less and less and less. I just know not to buy one of those for myself. Will I buy one for the channel? Yeah, absolutely. Will we do videos about it? Yeah. Will I say bad things about it? No, because it's an amazing guitar. But the bonding thing, I just don't bond with them. So I do see your point. But I think as we continue to do this, we will do that less and less and less because we will know immediately. It's just not a thing I'm into, you know? I'm not a collector. I'm a player. I mean, yeah, but if you have more than one, you're a collector, right? I don't like that statement because somebody that collects guitars and enjoys how they look and enjoys polishing on them and taking care of them, like you're talking down to that person for some reason. I don't like that. I think if you have a guitar, I'm happy to know you, as long as you're not a total douchebag. But I'm happy to know you if you know and talk to you about guitar stuff if you have a guitar. I don't care why you have it. So I'm not a, I don't ever want to look down on somebody because I think the reason they have that guitar is not the same reason I have my guitars. That doesn't make sense to me. There is no bad gear is hyperbolic and not true. There is bad gear at all price points. I think you mean that price alone is not the determining factor of the piece of gear's value. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that at all. I want you right now, everybody get in the comments, name a bad piece of gear, and I'll tell you why you're wrong. Put it in the comments right now. You put out a piece of gear that you think is a bad piece of gear. I can think of three right now of all of everything. And you put it in there and I will tell you who that piece of gear is good for. Even if it is not you, it's good for somebody, which makes it not a bad piece of gear. It's just not good for you. So put your bad piece of gear in there and we'll talk about it. Esteban Acoustic enters the chat. So that's an interesting thing. I hadn't actually thought about department store stuff. So you got me there. I think the department store stuff I would avoid. Does it make a good gift? Yes. Does it make a good gift for somebody who is like not actually a guitar player? You know, they make Christmas gifts that get thrown away. And they're disposable. And everybody that buys them, they end up in somebody's attic and they never get played. So in that respect, we're glad that people buy them and just get them off the street. They're doing everybody a favor by just throwing them in their attic and not letting anybody play them. So yes, department store gear is, except for like those little Squire packs, those are pretty cool. But yeah, okay, you got me on the department. Let's put department store gear in a category and I will give you that one. Barbie guitars are cool. Harley Benton, they have a place. I am 100%. I don't like them. I don't believe in the business philosophy. I don't want one. I don't want to review them. I don't care about them. However, they do have a place and the people that like them really like them and they are loyal to them and there are not terrible ones out there. And they would be a good modding platform for the folks that are into that stuff. Gibson Robot Tuners, that's actually not a Gibson product. That is another product by, I can't remember who. And those are actually very cool. The problem with Gibson Robot Tuners is Gibson made them mandatory on every guitar and not an option. They marketed that product incorrectly. The folks that I know that own those and have bought them on purpose love them. There are people I have a friend of mine in Florida who uses them as a, on an alternate tuning guitar. He has them on an SG actually. He didn't buy the Gibson ones though. He bought, what is the name of that company that they came from? I can't remember. Anyway, they're from Germany and they're really good. Actually, they're actually very good. The problem with the Gibson thing was a marketing snafu that should have never happened. Those should not come on a guitar mandatory OEM from the factory. Those are an optional thing for a very niche audience who really does enjoy them and they do work well. Let's see. Gas station knives. Cheap. we're talking about new stuff here. I mean, we could go back. You can't go back to the 70s because they didn't make guitars the same way we do. Let's see. I'm trying to find some here. Nobody's coming up with a good example of a bad piece of gear. Robot tuners are actually really expensive, so they wouldn't go on a cheap guitar. PV Viper 3, that's a fantastic opening. That's a fantastic... I always bring up the Line 6 Spider Jam 5 because everybody hates those things, but they're really good for what they are. When you have a not very skilled beginner guitar player who wants to sound like somebody and wants to have that insane shred and wants to have those sounds that can just hit a button and do it and make himself sound like $1 million, good. That's fantastic. Let's see. Oh, we got a super chat from Dog Boy. Super chat. I buy guitars to keep forever. I have 27 that I love. Yeah, I have probably low 20s myself, sir. So nobody could come up with a good example of bad gear. My point is made. Here's the thing. Every piece of gear is made for somebody. If you don't think it's for you, that doesn't make it bad. Even those Esteban guitars, the purpose of those guitars is not to be a good guitar, actually. It's to get somebody like a gift because they think they want to play guitar, even though that's not really what they're for. The department store stuff, that's the only one where I would just be like, steer away from it, right? We all would say, steer away from those guitars and go get, you know, one of those little beginner Squire packs with the amp, right? Like even that thing is better than that department store stuff. So that I see your point. Pile anything. Hey man, back in the day I was, there are three bad ones. What are the three bad ones? Okay. I'll give you three bad pieces of gear that I think are terrible. Do you remember when I did that video about the Kolos guitar with the plastic neck? And it was really flexy and it wouldn't stay in tune. They said it was carbon fiber, but it was actually like injection molded and it was like plastic. It had an aluminum body and we built it live on YouTube. That guitar was terrible. The neck was all flexible. It wouldn't work. The guitar would not work. And it was not cheap. It was like $600 or something for that kit. And they sent me two of them and they were both like that. That is a legitimately bad piece of gear that I would not recommend to my worst enemy. The other thing would be that stupid thing that bolts on the back of a Telecaster that goes from the bridge holes, the string through holes to the neck plate. It's like a beam that goes, I forget what it was called. That thing is stupid. What else? I thought I had three. There's been a bunch of gear that I've never reviewed that I've gotten from companies that didn't work. But yeah. So maybe I can only think of two right now. Let's see. Robert Hastings, I think you need to try and use the Viper 3. I'll send mine to you. No, I'm not interested in that. Here's the thing, too. The other thing you got to remember is your test case of one is not a reflection of the entire brand. In fact, your test case of 10 or 15 in a Facebook group is not a reflection of the entire brand. You got to remember that there are literally tens of thousands of these pieces of equipment, or hundreds of thousands of these pieces of equipment out in the world. And so the six people that get mad in a Facebook group because a speaker rattles doesn't mean that every one of them is bad. the percentage of equipment that goes out. I will tell you that most companies set as a goal 5% or less failure rate that they have to send back around in their own quality control. So 5% or less. And then if a small percentage of that might accidentally make it out the door. So for example, at Fender, that's what the number is. So if you see a bad guitar, which isn't usually actually a bad guitar, it's just something somebody's barking about for no reason, we could get into. We've done these videos too. What a quality control is, what an actual quality control problem is versus somebody who's just like bitching because that's the way they are. You know, that's the thing. So you minimize those things down, and even however many people in a Facebook group. Now, there are anomalies to that. Obviously, there are, you know, recalled items and stuff that like has firmware issues and it gets out there and all of a sudden everybody has a problem with it and et cetera. But that doesn't happen very often. Oh, Charles, maybe that's the other thing. The brass thing that went on the headstock to increase tone and sustain. That is the other thing. And that was actually in the same video. Thank you for reminding me that. I think there's a lot of pointless gear. The stupid thing that redirects the strings on a Gibson because, you know, string pull, that's a dumb thing too. I think there's a lot of things that solve problems that aren't actually problems, that if you just knew how to set your guitar up properly, you wouldn't have to buy them. Band-aids to problems. Finger protectors for calluses. German SIG or American SIG? One of each, please. Thank you. Or two of each. Let's see. Yeah. No, this is cool. This is a fun conversation to have. One of the things that Phil brought up about Texas Toast guitars, getting back to the value of instruments, is the transparency of the company does a lot to help with the value of the instrument. You know, that's one of the things we're really transparent here about, how we make stuff, teaching people how to do it. You know, we're doing these videos, and the video today that came out today about how we make pickups. You don't go to Seymour Duncan and he doesn't show you how to hold your hand to hand wind a pickup. You know, I mean, we're getting pretty into it here, you know, and Texas Toast is doing the same thing. Not only could you go tour their shop anytime you want, well, you have to call first and be friends with them, and, you know, kind of, I wouldn't just show up there. He doesn't like that. But, you know, you can go to a class, you can learn how to build guitars. They'll teach you how they do it. They'll teach you how they fret a guitar. You're going to see that in a video tomorrow. The way he teaches people to fret guitars is how he frets a guitar. And so that kind of transparency really adds value, because you really know what you're getting and you understand. One of the things Phil said, and I can attest to this, one of the things Phil said, that once you have more appreciation for what goes into the guitar, you know, he says, I'd be curious to, I don't remember how he worded it, but he said, I'd be curious to talk to anybody that has gone to one of those classes to learn how to build a guitar, and then to see if any of them think that Texas Toast Guitars is not worth it anymore. Because once you understand what goes into it, then all of a sudden, you don't complain about how much any guitar costs. If you have to sand for an hour, you don't complain about how any guitar costs. If you wind your own pickup, you don't complain about how much any pickup costs anymore. And I know for sure that there are folks in the comments right now who have been, you know, been to those classes, who have been to that stuff, who, you know, who really understand that stuff. Let's see. I flatly do not understand how anybody could look at a $1,200 to $1,500 Texas Toast guitar and claim it's anything close to overpriced. I agree with you. I 100% agree with you. I like the showing part. I think I want a pair of your pickups because you seem like a cool, funny guy. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, that's... and I will tell you, I ask every person. I ask every person that I teach to wind pickups. Now that you've done it, do you want to do it some more? And they're like, nope, I'm just going to order them from you. And there's some folks, I can think of a few people, maybe they're even in the chat today, who are like, you know what, I'm going to buy a pickup winder and I'm going to like learn how to do it. And they still buy pickups from me and they wind pickups for fun. I think that's really cool. I think everybody should learn what really goes into this stuff. If you are an actual guitar enthusiast, not just a nerd, okay, but an actual guitar enthusiast, I think you will care less than others about how much something does or should cost. Because I think as we appreciate things, we start to understand what really goes into them. And the story and the people and, you know, the fact that every time you buy a pickup from me, we're supporting 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, at least 5 people every time you buy a pickup from us. You know, I mean, that's really cool. And I do the same thing for you. You know, if I try to buy from small business whenever I can, you know, whether it's coffee or whether it's whatever, you know, you really try to do those things. And I think that's really important. Once you really are an actual enthusiast about the thing and you're really into it, then it's not just the thing itself anymore. It's the story that surrounds it. It's the enjoyment of the entire hobby. It's the appreciation for the creativity of the whole thing. And it's the whole ship rises when people have a wider viewpoint, but just a more open perspective of what goes into everything and what makes the world go round. I just think it's really fun. I think it's super cool. You know, there's guitars that are overpriced, not the Texas Toast, but they're out there. Anything that you're not willing to pay for is overpriced to you, but that doesn't mean it's overpriced. Overpriced is a dumb word, in my opinion. Because it doesn't apply to the same to everyone. What you're willing to pay for a product is what you're willing to pay for a product. It doesn't make the product overpriced. Your willingness to pay for a certain product is a variable. End of story. So if I'm going to pay $500 for a pocket knife, and you don't want to, you're going to say it's overpriced. I'm not. That doesn't make the product overpriced. That makes your willingness to pay for something a variable. Just a difference in perspective. It's like the term budget friendly. Yeah, whose budget? How's the economic? How? I don't like the economic state of whatever. Like, whose economic state? Like, you know, I don't know. I don't know. All those things are super relative. And I think this is why we have to not care about all that stuff. And we just look at what we are into and decide where we're going with it. And I know that there will be people, when we talk about money, everybody's always like, yeah, well, you can afford a Les Paul. I'm like, well, no, actually, I can't. I have to save up for it, just like you. So so that means that this is not about our economic ability to afford something. It's about our willingness and our self-discipline to be able to get the thing that we actually want. It actually doesn't have anything to do with economics. It took me 30 years to get a D28 before all the stars aligned and everything was in the right place where I could buy a D28. It took me 30 years. So, you know, patience. It's all about patience, and it's all about the willingness to be able to do that. So don't say, this is full on BetterHelp.com/DylanTalksTone. I'm coming at you straight right here. Don't say you can't afford something. I'll never be able to afford. Don't say that, because it's not true, because you don't know that. Because you can. If you put a dime in a bottle every 2 days, how long is it going to take you to save for the Les Paul that you really want? I'm not willing to do that. Well, then you must not really want it. That doesn't make the guitar too expensive. That makes you lazy. There you go. You can put a dime in a bottle every couple days. And if you can't, put it in there once a month. It's going to take you longer to save up, but it's all about determination to get the thing you want. It has nothing to do with budget. And you should dream. I 100% believe you should dream. Right on. You guys, this is super fun. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with me today. Don't want me to do any mic drops. You know what I should do? I should get some kind of mic. I need like a foam or like a beanbag mic. I need a beanbag or something like that that looks like a mic, and then I can drop it so it doesn't cost me $100 every time I do a mic drop. How about that? Ha, you just went the opposite way, Zundefog. I don't know how to say your name exactly. The only guitars that would genuinely be overpriced are knockoff Gibsons and Fenders being sold as the real thing at full retail. Yeah, that's really true, right? Yep. Exactly. So love what you play. That's the most important thing. I know we talk about this every week, but it's what's on my mind, because what I get in chats, what I get in conversations when we go to these classes, when we hang out with guitar people, these conversations dominate. And so understanding human beings and how human beings work is the best way to go. And just getting back to enjoying the music, man. Super fun. All right, you guys. Thanks for hanging out. I got some stuff I got to do. We made 13 P90s and like 15 Telecaster pickups today. So if you're waiting on P90s or Telecaster pickups, you will be seeing that stuff coming out the door in the next day or two. And we are going to make some humbuckers tomorrow, and we are going to be kicking it. So we are busy. Thanks for hanging out, and we will see you tomorrow, because we're going to put out another video about fretwork.